Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Ilson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. Things have really quieted down in the world of sports with football all over now. There's still basketball, of course, and DePaul is right up there in the forefront. It's great that Ray Meyer's team is rated number one in the nation. But the thing about that I'm always happy when football ends is that baseball is just around the corner. And believe me, that is my favorite dish. I really love baseball, and I really enjoy it just as much as when I broadcast the games for some 40 years. We're going to talk baseball today with an old friend, Roland Heeman, the vice president of the White Sox and a real good baseball man and a very nice man. So he'll be our guest today, and he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have Roland Heeman as our guest today. He and I have been friends for a long, long time. He's a good baseball man, and of course everybody knows of my interest in baseball and my association with it for so many years. And it culminated, fortunately for me, as you know, Roland, with being honored by getting into the Hall of Fame, which to me was one of the great honors of my life.
Well, very deservedly so also. As a matter of fact, the other night I was up in Appleton, Wisconsin at a baseball banquet. It was the Red Smith annual awards dinner, and George Connor of football fame was there. And your name came up, and he was saying how delighted he was that you were now inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame, and he expressed the same way I feel, and all of your fans, that it was well-deserved, and we're delighted for you.
Well, thank you. By the way, was Red Smith there?
No, unfortunately, Red did pass on a couple of years ago.
That's what I thought.
In Toledo, Ohio, but his wife Lorraine was there, and his daughter, and it was attended by some 1,200 people, and it was a very, very nice affair.
Well, now, you're certainly interested now, I guess 12 months a year, your interest is baseball, right?
Solely baseball. When you say one sports season ends, ours is now getting close, baseball, but baseball is a 12-month situation with us. Matter of fact, I was down in Mexico and saw a couple of baseball games there in Hermosillo, Mexico, where we have some players participating in Winter League play just about 3 weeks ago. But our White Sox will be reporting to Sarasota, Florida very soon. Our battery men show up on the 25th of February to start their training, and then the rest of the squad will join forces on March the 3rd, and Tony La Russa will get things going for us, and we're all looking forward to it.
Did you run into Frank Lane in Mexico?
I missed him this time. He was too far south. He was in Acapulco at the time that I was in the Mexican Pacific part towards Guaymas and Las Mochas and in that area.
He's working now for San Diego, right?
Yes, Frank's career continues on and on. He was instrumental in helping the California Angels win the divisional championship this year with some of the recommendations he made for trades in recent years. And now he's joined Ray Kroc and the San Diego Padres.
Well, usually he gets in here right about this time and parks at the Bismarck Hotel.
Chicago is still his favorite city. And I understand that he took the job with San Diego with the same stipulations that he could make Chicago his headquarters in the summer, because it enables him to see the Chicago White Sox and the American League clubs at Comiskey Park, and then the Cubs and the National League clubs as they come in. It's a fine place for him to judge the ballplayers from either league, and we always enjoy his company, and we're thrilled, Bill Veeck and I and the rest of us at Comiskey Park, when he comes by and visits with us.
Was last year a disappointing year for the White Sox? Did you people figure to do better? Did you expect to do better?
Well, you always go into every season optimistically. We had a young ball club, and we knew an inexperienced one. And this is where we think our enthusiasm and our optimism for 1980 is well-founded. Because a year ago, you would recall that we were talking about some left-hand pitchers who were coming up through the farm system, and were just coming out of the minor leagues, such as Ross Baumgarten, Richard Wortham, and Steve Trout. But they were untested at the major league level. Now they all have one successful year behind them in the majors. They now believe and know they can pitch up here, and they proved it. And so that certainly solidifies our forces as we open the season. To go along with Ken Kravick, who's might be considered the ace of the staff at the moment because of his seniority. And then What we were able to accomplish in mid-season, when we made a couple of trades that we feel strengthened our ball club. We were able to get Ed Farmer, a relief pitcher from Texas, who was expendable at Texas since they had Jim Curran and Sparky Lyle. But Farmer did a superb job for us the rest of the year. And then we made a trade with the Philadelphia Phillies where we got second baseman Jim Morrison from their minor leagues from Oklahoma City, and he instantaneously improved our strength both defensively and offensively.
Is there, or am I wrong in this assumption, is there a natural shortage of top catchers in the big leagues?
Yes, but I guess, we look back through the years and we remember Cochran and Hartnett and Dickey, but I guess as I was a Red Sox fan in the late 30s and the 40s, it always seemed like we were looking for a catcher there in Boston. So that is a position that there never seems to be enough top-flight catchers to go around for the 26 major league clubs.
Well, outside of that, I remember having Paul Richards on a show a few years ago, and I asked him, in your opinion, and if you could have just what you want, what is an ideal pitching staff? He said, I'd like to have six left-handers.
Well, Paul Richards heads our player procurement and development side, and I guess he's accomplishing this feat. This is phenomenal on our ball club, the streak of good luck, or I must say the astuteness of our scouts to have discovered some fine young left-hand pitchers. I mentioned Wortham and Baumgarten and Trout and Kravick, but we have others. Guy Hoffman from Ottawa, Illinois, who made it to the major leagues in a hurry. We have a 19- or 20-year-old youngster now, Britt Burns, who can really throw and will be at our major league camp. We signed a local boy who came to Comiskey Park at a tryout camp just 2 years ago, and he'll be at our Major League training camp, Kevin Hickey. And then we have another one, Richard Barnes, who a lot of people compare to Britt Burns. So we have a wealth of left-hand pitching, which is out of the ordinary. As a matter of fact, where ordinarily a left-hand pitcher, it's a tremendous break for him to try to make a ball club. In our case, the right-hand pitchers who have talent, have a real good chance of making a club because we're more left-handed.
Roland, what about somebody to hit the ball out of the ballpark?
Well, Chet Lemon has good power, but he hits for average as well as with power. We've got a youngster that is joining, will be at his first major league training camp by the name of Harold Baines. He's from Eastern Shore, Maryland, who's been in the organization only 2.5 years, but we regard as a very fine potential power hitter. He has not filled out completely yet. He reminds me a lot of Oscar Gamble, but he will hit with power and will hit for average, and we think we have a coming star.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, Roland Heeman, vice president of the Chicago White Sox. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're talking baseball today with Roland Heeman, and it's quite appropriate because tonight is the annual Baseball Writers' Dinner, and that's the tip-off, isn't it, Roland, that baseball is right around the corner?
That really launches the baseball season in Chicago. White Sox and Cubs fans will congregate at the Palmer House and shake hands and meet the honorees, and we're proud of the fact that Ross Baumgarten, our left-hander, is being honored as the rookie left-hander here in Chicago, or rookie this year, along with Scott Thompson of the Cubs, and Lamar Johnson, our big first baseman, is receiving the Ken Hubbs Award in memory of Kenny Hubbs, who was tragically involved in an airplane crash many years ago, but who had made his mark as a very fine young man in the community.
As you look around over the ball club, what about the ball club for speed and defense?
Well, we're going to look at the Alan Bannister at shortstop once again. He underwent arm surgery about 15 months ago, and we knew last year was the recuperative time, and he was able to perform adequately in left field, but the arm was mending. And then in the fall, he went to the instructional league, and there was an undoubtedly very fine, marked improvement of his throwing arm. So he's a shortstop by trade, and it will be nice to look at him there again, and hopefully his throwing arm will be along the lines as it once was when he played at Arizona State and then was coming up through the Phillies organization. And if he can accomplish that, of playing shortstop and win the job, then that lends a great deal to our ball club, because then that means we can add some other outfielder out there who represents yeah. speed, maybe Baines or Bosley or whoever it might be that can win the job in left. So I think we will find a faster ball club if Bannister can make it a shortstop.
Who'll be at third?
Well, Kevin Bell just came off a very fine winter in the Winter Puerto Rican League. He was playing for Frank Robinson, who was managing a Santurce club. And I've talked to Frank Robinson on numerous occasions this winter about Kevin's play, and it seems that he has now regained all of the confidence that he had prior to the severe knee injury he had 2 years ago, and he was a standout there. And Frank Robinson has no doubt that Kevin Bell should be our everyday third baseman.
Frank was quite a ball player, wasn't he?
Well, I was glad that Kevin Bell could play under him because Frank was a great ball player, a tremendous hitter, one who stood just on top of the plate, never budged, got knocked down a lot and got hit by pitches, but he always came back. It was one of the finest clutch hitters I ever saw.
How do you visualize at this early date the strength in the division that you're in?
Well, we're excited and enthusiastic. We played against the best the division could provide against us the last couple of months. You remember when Tony La Russa took over the ball club on August the 3rd, we had to play some of the very cream crops of both divisions. Matter of fact, Baltimore, New York, Boston, Milwaukee. And then we played California, and I was so proud of our ball club. We went to Anaheim, and we scored 32 runs, and they scored 32 runs in a four-game series, averaging 8 runs a game. Both clubs tooth and nail, and they managed to win 3, but they were 3 of the toughest losses that we ever suffered. I'm not one who normally complains publicly about umpire, but I tell you, that was one series they ate my heart out because there were plays where I remember Bobby Gritch bouncing off high catcher Mike Colburn, flying over home plate. The umpire's calling him safe, and then Gritch is coming back, diving back, knowing he missed the plate, but he called him safe a second time, so Colburn's tagging about 4 times. He's still called safe, you know, and then at the end of the night, you beat 10-9. And I tell you, Tony La Russa and I, we stayed in that clubhouse. We didn't leave till 3 o'clock in the morning, just crying in our beer, you might say, because it was a real heartbreaking loss. But the club showed real character, and I could tell the guys were saying, wait till we get California in Comiskey Park next week. And the following week, they came in, and we knocked Nolan Ryan out of the box. I say we, the ball players did, in the first inning with a 5 spot, and they never caught us. And then the second day, we knocked Chris Knapp out of the box with 6 in the first inning. So we get our just revenge, but I think that's when the club really came of age as a young club coming down the stretch. And then we played Minnesota. They were still in a race, and they had beaten us 7 straight times, so they were going for a sweep of the season, so they thought. But instead, we reversed the tables, beat them the last 5 times, knocked them out of the race. So the club showed real comeback character, and I think that's indicative that as we go into this coming season, the other clubs better beware.
Roland, I've always had a feeling, and maybe I'm wrong in it, but I've always had a feeling that Nolan Ryan is way overrated. For the kind of money he gets, say he'll strike out 16, he'll walk 17. His win and loss record, it doesn't make him a great pitcher. They talk about him and Sandy Koufax. He couldn't carry Koufax's shoes.
No, Ryan has not been the winner that a Koufax and some of the other great pitchers, and I have to agree with you that great pitching goes with winning, and his percentage doesn't belies his talents. It's just that he has, at certain times, have had some phenomenal ball games because he has one of the greatest arms that I've ever seen, but that doesn't make you great if you don't get the results. And despite the fact that he has left the California Ball Club, our club, through the years, has had pretty good success against him. But I guess that has held true with other clubs, where if you're just around 500 as a pitcher, you win one, you lose one. But at the end, there are other pitchers who do far better with less.
Well, one of the things that hurts Ryan is his wildness. I mean, you could start a ball game and walk the first 2 men. You got 2 men on and nobody out. I mean, he's so wild.
Sometimes I guess he has difficulty harnessing that good stuff of his, and he can't contain his fastball and keep in his strike zone as it moves so well. But Koufax found a way. It took him a while to put it together. But when he did, for a stretch of time, he was just almost unhittable and with fine control.
Who would you say is the best left-hander and the best right-hander you've seen? See if they match me. You've just mentioned the left-hander.
Well, Koufax, for the short 4 or 5 year period, I guess you couldn't be any better. Naturally, I have my prejudices because sometimes where you've been associated with a particular player for a number of years, you've seen him perform under all sorts of circumstances. But Warren Spahn has to go for me because I was with the Boston Braves organization, Milwaukee Braves, and he helped us win championships.
You know, you can't believe it. If you take a book and you look at Warren Spahn's record, It just bears out what you say. He really had a fantastic record.
Yeah, he was still winning 20 ball games, and he was past 40 years old. And he didn't win his first major league game until he was 25 or 26 because he had been in a world war. So there's no telling with the four additional years what he would have written records that never to be broken by.
Pretty good hitter, too.
That's it. He was he could hit, he could run, he could slide, he could feel his position. He won ball games every conceivable way. So, and you could just count on him. He just took his regular turn day in, you know, every fourth day, and he'd have knee operations. It's amazing. He wouldn't even let the ball club know, and he'd have it done after the season, and then he'd make sure to show up in condition to where no one was aware, and you find out 3 or 4 years later that he had a knee operation. So it shows his competitive spirit and his ability.
He was something. What about a right-hander?
Well, maybe I was impressionable at a younger age, but I saw a game in 1940 with Bob Feller throwing, and I thought, this is the epitome of the greatest pitcher that I could ever hope to see, and I think he was.
Yeah. I agree with you. I thought Feller was the best right-hander I ever saw. You know, Feller had an attitude that he never thought anybody should get a hit off him. Remember the way he used to stomp off the mound?
Yeah, he had some showmanship about him. He stuck that big chest out at you and came firing at you and kicked that high kick. And then when he came up with that great curveball that just fell off the table to go along with that great fastball, I'm sure it wasn't any fun for hitters to know that the following day Feller was scheduled to pitch. But the game that I will recall that on that day when I thought I saw the greatest pitcher I ever saw was he pitched against Boston. Rudy York hit one in the center field bleachers for, there was only a two-hitter, but I'd have to believe he shut his eyes, swung as hard as he could, and happened to make contact.
You remember that famous Rudy York home run at Sox Park?
No, I don't. I wasn't here to...
Maybe you weren't. Well, Rudy York was batting, and it was a very close game. I think we were in the extra innings. I think it was the 10th inning. And I mentioned on the broadcast, I said, if Rudy York had hit a home run now, I'll send everybody a turkey.
That was an expensive home run.
Yeah. I no sooner got it out of my mouth than he parked the ball in the upper deck.
And that's the last time you promised turkeys, I'm sure.
Well, brother, did we get mail and bills for turkey dinner and turkey luncheons and so on and so forth that we really didn't know what to do. Well, we finally decided that we'd get an attractive cardboard turkey. And he'd autograph it, and I'd autograph it, and we sent it out to everybody, and everybody was satisfied.
Well, I figured you'd think of something. Like Charlie Dressen used to say, keep it close, he'll think of something. Well, you sure did that time. Beautiful.
Yeah, that really worked out fine. Well, the season is almost upon us. What about the balance in your division?
Well, we think that we can compete. We're not making great noises about it. We'd rather sneak up on them. But California... they have a fine ball club and a lot of hitting. Kansas City is always tough. Minnesota, Gene Mark gets great mileage out of all of his ball clubs. Texas Rangers, they have good all-around ability. But when it's all done, I think we'll be right there battling with the leaders.
Did Nolan Ryan go to Texas?
Yeah, he went to the Houston ball club for a tremendous sum of money as far as contract is concerned for himself. They try to replenish the loss of Ryan by signing Bruce Keeson from the Pittsburgh ball club in re-entry draft.
Well, the season will be here before you know it, and it's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Well,
about preparation for you and Bill Veeck? What are you fellows doing now? I know you're thinking baseball and talking baseball.
Well, as I praise the players, I also sometimes have to be a little cautious because I also have to sign them. So we're negotiating contracts with the players and their agents. We go over the players that have participated in winter ball, get the scouting reports to find out if some of them have improved sufficiently to count on them maybe to a higher level than we might have at the end of last season. Our trainer, our doctors keep close tabs on our players for mending problems for injuries they might have had last year. We keep close tabs on their diets and training programs, and spring training is right close by, and Tony La Russa comes into the office often to discuss things with Bill, thinking about extra games to schedule in the mornings to make sure that all of our players in camp get the ample opportunities to make the club. So there's a lot of discussions that go on preparatory to any season.
What about Tony's background? Now, he's the new manager.
he's a bright young manager. I'm very, very much impressed with him, and I think he'll go on to be one of the best managers in the game. Tony has prepared himself to be a manager for some time. It's very evident. He talks about that when he broke in with the Kansas City Ball Club, Jimmy Dykes was one of the coaches, and how much he would spend hours with Jimmy talking baseball and how impressed he was with Jimmy. Also, Tony comes from Tampa, Florida, and one of his close friends and a man that he's admired for many years and spends a great deal of time during the offseason with him is Al Lopez, the senor. So he's had some good training or discussions with tremendous baseball men, and he has a very brilliant mind. As a matter of fact, I'm so proud of the fact that just recently he passed the bar exams in Florida, so now he's a full-fledged lawyer as well as being a big league manager, which is a tremendous achievement to have accomplished this undergoing studies during the off season. So I think the Chicago White Sox fans will thoroughly enjoy this young man.
Well, now, with just about the same talent as you had last year, you finished fifth, right?
Yes, but Tony took over the ball club on August the 3rd, and we were really struggling. And we ended up 14 games under 500, but during the period of time that he managed, we played 500 baseball. So that was very encouraging. He has great knowledge of all the players throughout the organization, having managed in a farm system and coached 2 years ago half of the season with a major league club. So that none of the players on the club is foreign to him, and he relates well to the present-day athlete. I think he motivates very well. He's a good judge of talent. He's good running a ball game. So with all this hand-in-hand, I think it's going to be a highly spirited and hustling ball club, and one that Tony will get the very best out of.
Roland, are there going to be any changes in baseball this year, rule-wise or anything else?
No, there are always some discussions of possible changes, but the National League continues to see fit to continue with the pitcher hitting in a ninth spot, and the American League continues with the designated hitter rule, and there's been no change in that regard. But the game will be played in the same manner as last year as far as rules are concerned.
Sometimes you really wonder why, with two major leagues and they play in a World Series, that there is such a single radical departure is the one you just mentioned, the business of the pitcher or the designated hitter. The commissioner has the power to change that, doesn't he?
Yes, but it's a decision that he has chosen not to make. He has made it for the World Series. It's alternating years. I know the American League would like, if the commissioner would change it, that both leagues would use the designated hitter rule. The National League, probably not having thought about it first, through tradition, tries to continue their league in the way in which they have handled it, although I know that there is sentiment among some of the National League clubs to have the designated rule, but they don't get enough votes to put it in.
Now, spring training gets underway when?
February 25th will be our battery men. We'll play our first exhibition game on March the 11th, then we open the season here at Comiskey Park on April the 10th.
On April the 10th. What's that, a Tuesday?
I believe it's a Thursday, and it's against the American League champions, Baltimore Orioles. So Earl Weaver and his pitching staff of Flanagan and Palmer and McGregor, who...
pretty good.
Yes, but we had some tremendous games in Baltimore, some 2-1, 12-inning ball games last year against them, so... we might as well play them early as late.
Yeah, I think the Sox played better against Baltimore than any team. They give Baltimore a terrific battle.
Yeah, we seem to rise to the occasion, but they're very tough to beat. Earl Weaver always seems to find one way somehow to win a ball game that seems to be within our grasp, but we have played extremely good ball against them.
Are the Yankees going to dominate anything?
Really, I don't expect them to. I think Baltimore will probably repeat in the American League East with Boston being a strong contender. The Yankee Ball Club has added age in the unfortunate loss, the passing of Thurman Munson. It was a severe blow, which is very, very difficult to overcome. And Piniella is getting older, and Roy White now is going to, by the end of his career, or possibly signing with another club in re-entry. But as a club, Greg Nettles about 36 or 37 now at third base, so age is creeping up on him rapidly.
They're not the kind of a great Yankee club that you and I saw at one time, remember?
I can remember some of these. Every decade, they'd come up with one just as good as the previous one. But when you look back at the DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio in center, and Charlie Keller and Tommy Henrik, and then, you know, just, well, you saw it all through the years. Yeah, you saw it during the Greenberg Gehrig and Ruth days. I missed that era, and I wish I would have seen them in action.
Just imagine those two guys coming up back-to-back. They were really something. You know the difference in the way they hit?
No, I didn't. Not having seen them,
Well, they both were home run hitters, as you know, and both hit a lot of home runs. Gary always hit line drives, or usually, and Ruth had hit them 2 miles up in the air. You know, the ball had looked like a pea going out in the upper deck.
It just kept carrying.
Huh? Yeah.
Phenomenal.
But they were fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like to come up with a twosome like that.
Yeah, the White Sox would be in pretty good shape. Well, it'll be here now, as you mentioned, before we know it.
The sooner the better, at least the sports pages now, and I'm beginning to carry baseball, which is always an indication that it's not far off. And every year, and I enjoy chatting with you because I know that your great love and enthusiasm for the game never wanes, and I feel the same way about this great game of ours.
Well, I do, too. Going to see you at the Baseball Writers' Dinner tonight.
Yeah, I look forward to that tonight, Bob, and I look forward to spending more time with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Roland, for being with us. Our guest today, and we've been delighted to have him and to talk baseball with Roland Heeman, Vice President of the White Sox and a real good baseball man. And baseball will be here before you know it. Have a happy day, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.